All right, first we need to make sure we can all hear each other. I'm just going to do a roll call. Mr. Beaupre?
Here.
Mr. Corson?
Here.
Mr. Dyer?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
Ms. Damon says yes, I can hear. Ms. Offont?
Yes.
And Ms. Stratton?
I'm here.
Great. All right, so I'd like to welcome everyone who's on to our Board of Selectmen's meeting for August 22nd, 2020. And I'd like to call the meeting to order. So the first thing on the agenda is public comments that are not on the agenda. So if anyone in the audience, and I don't know how many, I guess we've got eight participants.
We have eight participants, seven participants, one in the audience. Bill McCuskey's out there somewhere.
Okay, so right now we don't really have, unless Bill has something he'd like to say, which we would love to hear, if he has a question. If later on in the meeting we have people come on, I'd be happy to take it up under other business if someone has something they want to talk about.
If no one, I'm sorry, excuse me. David, do you see Jackie Robbins on there anywhere?
Nope. We just have our seven panelists and one attendee, and that's Bill.
Well, if something happens that after we're finished with the Marjorie's report, she's not on, we can just skip and then come back when she comes back on. Is that okay with everybody if we do that?
Yep.
Okay. All right, Marjorie, Town Administrator's report.
You're muted, Marjorie.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Nobody ever does that, right?
We all do it.
On the Grinnell property, I sent you all those final drafts of the deeds for the property swap, and that's on the property here on North Road. The next step, of course, is to have a special town meeting to approve that land swap. I'm not sure when we're going to be able to do that. Does anybody have any questions about that, or the process, or where we are?
No, I think it's pretty straightforward. And just to, if people are on board that don't know, they did get a clear title to that property, so it's all set.
Right. On the new recycling compactor, Jim O'Regan from Atlantic Recycling is going to be out here on August 18th, and Bo and I are going to meet with him. He sent me some specifications that I forwarded on to Bo. I still think even after we meet with him, there's going to be a little bit of work and decision making about where exactly we want to put it, but I think that initially we can meet with him and see what his thoughts are on it anyway. Anybody have any comments on that?
We await your...
I didn't see that that you sent me anything.
Okay.
Did you send an email?
I'd have to look back. But I can, which way would you prefer to get it, Bo? Do you want to get just copies in the Dropbox here, or with email?
Yeah, copies in the Dropbox. Great. And then you said August 18?
Yes. You have that date, right?
If I did, I wrote it down on something that I don't have on me right now.
All right, that's the 18th. Let me check the time. I have, he's coming out on that first, well, not the first, but the 8th, so he'll be here at 8:30.
All right.
Just so that if there's people in the audience or who don't remember what we're talking about, a compactor that would compact cardboard. Isn't that basically what this would do? If case anybody's noticed, we have a mountain of cardboard. So that's really, I think, will be dedicated to cardboard. So we want to make sure no one puts anything else in if we are able to make this work. Anybody have any other questions of Marjorie about the compactor?
Jackie says she's on now. On the dredging project, the last communication I saw was something initiated by David Hill. The sheet that Pam Trinward of Shelley Pingree's office has had several communications with the Army Corps regarding Shabig. She had a conference call with the planning chief, and they have promised that the draft report will be completed before the end of the month. And I kind of chuckle a little bit because I've heard that same thing, I don't know, I can't even count how many times. The report will be recommending a new channel. They have promised to set up a call with Shabig soon. So hopefully that will happen. The rental for the deputy is on the agenda farther down. I spoke with David Bruner about the walkway that we funded with the $800 on Indian Point Beach. And he said that it was very successful. There's still some concern about it being too light. And I guess they did take it out during that last windstorm. But he said that it's been very successful overall. The ambulance, I signed the ambulance proposal with Greenwood as voted at the last selectman's meeting, and I don't have a delivery date right now.
Marjorie, speaking of Indian Island, did we have any kind of an update? Last time we talked about the road down there, Bob Ernest and Carol White came on and said they were going to be doing something. Did you ever hear back from them?
That they were going to be doing, they were looking at some grant programs with Pete Slavinsky.
Right. They were meeting with somebody down there. Did they ever report back to you?
Not specifically about the road.
But what was the erosion issue with the road?
I believe they're looking at the whole area in terms of its significance. And the Shabig and Cumberland Land Trust is involved with that as well. And I think Bob is on that board, but they were going to meet with Pete Slavinsky. I don't have any kind of written report.
So they didn't get back to you after that. Okay.
If I may chime in for a moment, Bob Ernst did send me a couple of emails with videos showing the change in the taken from a drone that they had done with Jeep, the guy you were just talking about, Pete
Slavinsky.
Yeah. I thought everybody had it. I will send it on to you, Marjorie, and you can.
Well, that wasn't specific to the road, though.
No, it was just. It was specific to the amount of erosion that takes place over time, and right. Their suggestion that basically it be left alone and nothing done.
Yeah, I think that would be good if we had that information. Thank you, Jay, for bringing that up.
Okay. Marjorie, I'll forward that to you as best I can, and
then
you can deal with it.
Okay.
Thank you again, Jay. Okay, anyone have any questions of Marjorie about the town administrator's report or anything you want to ask Marjorie that's not on the agenda or any catching up to do?
Before we go.
Seeing none, why don't we move on to the treasurer's report?
So the report that I gave you is primarily for the end of June. I have reconciled all the bank accounts through July, and that information is there. But for year-to-date income and expense, I just gave a summary of where we are on some of the accounts. Do you want to ask questions, or do you want to go through? There was some, after I did my analysis of the article that we have that allows us to spend 10% over the budget as long as the bottom line isn't over, that article 26 through 49. So there are a couple of accounts, legal services and fire department, that are still over. So the question is whether or not you want to transfer money from the contingency.
And so I think that that's something that we really need to deal with. Mark's got his hand up. Mark, you're muted.
Are you finished, Donna?
I saw your hand up. So I was just going to say that I think that we should deal with this. Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we transfer $5,000 from the Selectmen's Contingency 2020 Fund and use $2,000 of it for the legal services account and the other $3,000 for the fire department building maintenance line item.
I second.
Thank you, Bo. So it's moved and seconded, so now we can have a discussion. I think that this is really all we can do. I think this is what we have to do. Fortunately, there's enough money in that contingency fund. One of the questions that I have to ask Marjorie, and you don't have to give an answer right now, but when you look at the EMS budget for 2021, the year we're now in, does it look like, and there were several accounts that they were over in, and I was wondering if they still had the same numbers in there, or if we, if there needs to be some, I don't know if you can adjust things in the middle of the stream, but somebody probably needs to be in charge of monitoring this. You know, as we go forward, you're going to be leaving, somebody else is coming, and we just want to make sure that we fought with that they have enough money in where they need it to be. It was like, I think fuel and gasoline were a couple of areas, wages and travel in addition to
during the budget process, I think we did reduce what was asked for. I mean, I meet with Ralph about the operating budget, but I think the wage line was reduced to the $44,000 that's in there now. I think that we'll, moving forward, it looks like we're going to be spending more, but that's a hard thing to estimate because it's really dependent on the number of runs we do.
Right.
So if people are extremely healthy and we don't do a lot of emergency runs and we don't have any fire calls, then that would be low, but so there's a little bit of contingency there. So we put in 44,000, which is higher, 4,000 higher than 2020, but you know, we've spent a lot more than even the 44,000. As far as building maintenance, never spend that much on building maintenance. Right. That was just an unusual.
Right. That was a one
circumstance.
Okay, I think you've answered the question. Thank you. Mark.
Marjorie, I just want to clarify something. The motion that I just made to transfer $5,000 out of our selectman contingency is going to be taken out of the remaining balance of $6,697 from the previous year, correct?
Yes.
So, in other words, we still will retain $16,000 in our current budget for our contingency.
Oh, yes. It doesn't have anything to do with the 2021 budget.
Thank you.
Anyone else have a question before we vote? Anyone from the public? All right. I guess we will now do a roll call. Mr. Beaupre.
Yes.
Mr. Corson.
Yes.
Mr. Dyer.
Yes.
Mr. Hill.
Yes.
Ms. Damon, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Marjorie, for doing that analysis, because I think that's important to get that taken care of.
Were there any other questions about this budget report? I mean, I haven't really entered the budget into the new system. I don't usually do that until we do the commitment, which will be done on the 18th. So I didn't do a budget report just for that 1 month.
I had a question about, this is about 2020. When you said that it was lower in the boat excise and all that, how much lower was it? Was it significantly lower or?
Lower than the budget? Well, that's right there, Donna.
Yeah.
It's right here. The budget, there's the budget is listed, and then, for instance, with boats, it wasn't that much less. It was $554.50 less than we budgeted. Excise was actually, we collected more than we budgeted. Did you have any, what was the specific one that you were asking?
What I was wondering is, you know, because in some areas we were higher, in some areas lower, were we pretty much even in the end? I guess that was, because when revenue sharing was down 10,000, that's quite a bit. So I was just curious.
Yeah, and that has nothing to do with us, really. It's just...
No, but it has to do with whether we can pay our bills, right? So I guess that's what I'm, you know, talking about.
We're not that dependent on revenue sharing like some other towns. I mean, we only receive a total of 20 or 30,000, so that's not going to make or break us. And we have significant fund balance, so we're in fine shape financially. It's just interesting to look from a budgeting standpoint, from my perspective, going forward, it's all a guessing game, but you want to give the best guess that you can. So
what you're saying is that going into the next year, we have no idea where those lines will go. Going to depend.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have any questions of Marjorie? Okay, let's move on to the first item on our agenda, 21-075, to hear an update from tax assessor Jackie Robbins. And we'd like to welcome Jackie to this meeting. And I personally have not met Jackie, so I'm looking forward to meeting her tonight.
Bringing back Jackie onto the screen here. And Jackie.
You're on mute, Jackie.
You can unmute and maybe show your face. There
it's
you
in
are.
The dark.
Welcome.
How you doing?
Jackie. You're on mute.
You're muted. You have to unmute.
I call that the 20th
century. I feel like the progressive ad. I said, yeah. I have met everybody, I think, except for Donna. So nice to meet
nice
you.
Nice to meet you.
So I think Marjorie wanted me to talk to you guys about my proposal that we. Well, let me start out by saying the ratio of the town valuations compared to what sales are has gone right off the charts. Land and buildings on Chabig skyrocketed price-wise. So therefore, in order to get the full amount of money from the state and the full amount of money for the residents for their homestead exemptions, we need to get our ratio up close. I believe the ratio was like 75%. It might even been less than that. I can't remember.
It was 75.
So what I'm proposing we do is we up everybody's valuation 25%. Well, if you up everybody across the board 25%, then ideally what should happen is the mill rate will drop 25%. Everybody will pay the same taxes because it's distributed the same way across the board. But what it will do, it will allow us to give every resident on Shebeeg the full $25,000 on their homestead, which in turn will allow us to get the most money from the state of Maine that we can. I'm confident, very confident, that 99.99% of the properties on Shebeeg, even up 25%, is still going to be less than what they sold for, what they would sell for. But the bottom line is, I did it in, I live in Monroe. I had the same problem in Monroe. We upped everybody's valuation 25%, land and buildings, and the mill rate dropped 25%. So, of course, if the town spends a little more, then the mill rate's not going to drop 25%. But then again, if the town spends more and you left everything where it is right now, the mill rate would go up above what it was last year anyways. So that's what I'm proposing to do. And Marjorie kind of wanted me to bring it forward so that everybody...
Well, we already did it.
All right. We already did that. But we're going to do the tax bills next week, I hope.
Yeah, we're going to
when I'm there. Bills. And then, so if anybody has any questions or asks, that's what we're doing. And they certainly can call me and I can explain it to them.
So we're estimating the tax rate will be about 13.25. But of course, I have to wait until we enter all the figures and do the actual commitment. But that's the estimate.
I think Mark had a question.
Yes, Mark has a question.
Well, Marjorie just answered it, and thank you for joining us, Jackie. So the new mill rate that you're proposing is $13.25, correct?
Well, hopefully that it will, yes, it will most likely be that, but the exact mill rate is not determined until we do the commitment on the 18th, unless Jackie wants to say anything further on that.
Yeah, no, we'll just have to do the final batch calculation of property and see what we have and then go from there. But it shouldn't vary too much from that because Marjorie certainly has a handle on,
okay,
on where we're at with that.
And just one more quick question. So I think we worked pretty hard to not let the budget get away from us and try to hold taxes. So are you and Marjorie pretty confident that people's tax bills are pretty much going to be close to what they paid last year?
Yeah. Thank you.
Jay?
Yeah. Isn't the simple explanation for this that by increasing the value 25%, it comes down 25% on the other side? I mean, this is just it's just a way to bring us in line with what the state wants and how we maximize our state benefits.
Exactly.
It doesn't impact the residents, except when they look at the numbers of the value of their properties, it's going to go up, and they're going to say, oh, wow, and they're going to look at their tax bill, and it's going to be...
Except that they look at the amount first, and then they look at the other and go, oh, wow.
Right.
But they look at the actual bill first, and then sometimes they don't even look at the valuation if the bill is about the same. But right. Yeah, it's usually the other way around. Yeah, but in Monroe, yeah. I will tell you, in Monroe, I've gotten no calls, which I'm surprised because I thought somebody would look at the valuation. But like I said, they saw that it was the same, so about the same amount of money, so they're not doing anything. They're not saying anything.
So this is just arithmetic to bring us in line with the state.
Well, and it also is to give us the most bang for our buck as far as the money we get back from the state. Yeah, you will get more money back from the state and
for the homestead.
Right, for the homestead reimbursement, and the people will get the most homestead reimbursement. Right.
So there's absolutely no downside to this whatsoever.
I don't think so. I think it's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Jackie, I agree with that too, that it's a wise thing to do. But I think that we have to understand that that if someone has a mistake on their bill, we had our last revaluation not as successful as it could have been, and was not as accurate as it could have been. So if some of those numbers were not correct to start with, it may exacerbate that.
That is true, but it would probably, and we can deal with those. I would really think that would be very minimal. We can deal with them. There's always going to be a few exceptions to the rule, and we can deal with them as they come.
Well, I guess what I wanted to say was this is not a full revaluation, and it might be helpful to have, if you could write some kind of a memo to include in the tax bill, just to describe, you know, what this is and what it isn't, so that people don't think that we've done a revaluation, a full-scale revaluation, that this has been more of an adjustment. And I think as Jay said, they will understand that. But I think it will go a long way if we could have some kind of a memo from you or a letter in the tax bill that explains what's happened.
I don't have any problem with doing that. That's fine. If you guys want me to do that, I will do that.
I mean, that's my thought. Anybody else have a problem with doing that to try to?
I think it would just confuse people even more, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I'm not sure it would. I'd like to hear from the rest of the board. Jay?
For what it's worth, I agree with Marjorie. And if you think about what Jackie said, was basically people look, the bill's the same. And then if they look further, if they actually get that far, they look and their valuation is up, that's just positive. I mean, I don't, you know, there's nothing magical about this. This is just a very simple process.
David?
Rather than increasing the burden on everybody in the tax bills, I would just suggest putting something on the town website that explains it. Then Jackie's letter memo would be there for them to look at.
I guess I'll respectfully disagree, because I really feel like not everybody is online, and some of the people who maybe are not online would be the people who might have, you know, be the most concerned. I mean, I just have lived through so many of these revaluations, and also this kind of an adjustment reevaluation. And while you think it may sound simple, a little information can go a long way. But I will go along with the rest of the board. I'm just one person, so. So the question is, do we want to include a letter explaining to the people what is happening in the evaluation? David?
Yeah, and I would suggest that Jackie write that letter and send it on to Marjorie, and it would be there for people to look at. And if we decide that there's a huge public clamor that comes up, we could actually send it out to everybody. I just don't think it doesn't rise to the level of publicity, I don't think.
I'm more than willing to have my phone number on the bill too. I mean, I may already be on there, so I don't mind people calling me.
Okay, well, I can see there's not the sense is that people So whenever anybody calls me about this, I'm going to give all the numbers of the other four of you. And you can all it. So
I just, you can give them my phone number and I'll talk to them.
Yeah. Mine's already on the bill. Yeah.
Mark?
Jackie, just a quick question. Last year, I met you down on one of my customers' wharfs at Central Landing, and you were looking at reevaluating the value of wharfs, if you will. I wondered if you were successful in tracking down all of the wharfs on the island and if they're getting taxed appropriately, in your opinion.
I did track them all down, and I did do them all, and I'm amazed I never heard a peep.
Yeah, that was done last year.
Thanks.
Including Hope Island.
Yep. And it is much fairer, in my opinion, now than it was.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
I'm amazed I never heard a peep, but I didn't.
Anyone else have a question of Jackie? All right, seeing none, thanks, Jackie, for coming on, and good luck, and I hope you don't get many calls.
All right, well, I'll survive it. Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is to discuss the and possibly act on renewing the lease of the Bradmead Cottage for the Sheriff's summer of 2021. The reason I put this on now is I don't want to keep talking about this all winter, you know, what we're going to do about it. So either today, the idea would be we would say, yes, we will go forward with and accept his offer of $800 more for the summer, or we should say no and look for something else. And then I would like the people on this board who vote no to go find a place. So I'm being a wise guy, but Mark.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the $800 increase for the Bradmead property for the following year for rental of for our law enforcement individual.
David seconded. Do we have some discussion? Jay.
Has anybody even looked at what else is available or possible?
Well, that was my suggestion was, if people didn't want to do this, then they could volunteer to go and try to find the place.
My question was, has anybody even taken a look yet?
No, I haven't.
That's a yes or no kind of question.
Yeah, no, that was my point. Mark.
I think isn't it about 14 weeks that we utilize this property, Marjorie?
Well,
it's Memorial Day to Labor Day. Is that
12?
12? I don't know.
3 months, 4 weeks a month.
Well, don't you usually have a week in May and sometimes a week in September as well?
Yeah, it depends on when the holidays fall. I think so that, you know, sometimes they're early, sometimes they're late.
So it's 12 to 14 weeks is my point. Yeah, you're only talking about at the maximum $600 a week for this rental. I would find it hard to believe in the summertime on Chabig Island you're going to come up with another property for that price, but maybe I'm wrong.
Is there any more discussion on this motion? Everybody ready to vote? All right, Mr. Beaupre.
Yes.
Mr. Corson.
No.
Mr. Dyer.
I'm going to vote yes, but did you ask anyone in the audience if they had a comment?
There's nobody that I can see in the audience except.
Okay.
I don't even see. The school board, the school has a meeting tonight at the same time, so I think that's where most of the people are.
My vote is yes.
Only have four people tuned in at the moment.
David?
Yes.
And I'm yes, so it's 4-1.
How about Bo?
Oh, I asked Bo, he was first.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
He was okay, in the closet. Couldn't see him moving.
I snuck it in there.
He's in the dark there. He's I'm sorry. Okay, 20.
Either the sunlight through the window or it's dark. So it's either one.
I see a light bulb in back of you.
21-077. To hear an update regarding the Allstate paving project and other items related to town roads and ways. And this is something that we said we were going to have on the agenda about the town roads and ways when the board took over being the road commissioner. So I want to start with Mark for an update on Allstate, and then we can go from there if anybody has any other things about roads they want to talk about.
Well, I think Marjorie knows as much as I do, but basically they are stockpiling the cold mix pavement as we speak over at the Public Works garage. They've got a lot of it over there now. They're getting ready to do the project. I don't have any updates on any actual road work. As I said last meeting, the culvert work that you guys did was very good on North Road and Cottage Road, and I think we're in good shape for the project. And I also think it paid off to send the letter to the Bennett's Cove or the affected residents, if you will, for the amount of traffic and trucking down there. And I noticed that Marjorie allowed one of the homeowners to put up a homemade sign to just let people know there were heavy trucks coming up through. That's all that I have.
And I saw that sign. I think that we should get Jackie Trask to be our sign maker from now on. I thought she did a wonderful job on that sign. I said, who made this sign? And she was very proud that she had done it. So I happened to observe that they've been cutting the sides of the road. That's all I know. Anybody else have anything they want to say about roads? Bo, did you have something you wanted to say? Any thoughts?
I just had some questions about you know, how we were handling this, you know, being the road. I talked to Donna a little bit about it, just tried to get a gist on how we're supposed to do this as a board, whether we notice something and then bring it to the board and then take action. Are we noticing something and then still going to Marjorie and then having Marjorie talk to Public Works? Is that how this is?
I think it's pretty much being handled the same way as it was before, which is fine. I speak with Chuck almost on a daily basis. We check in every morning to see what's going on. Okay. You know, but it's fine.
So I have thoughts about and I want to get the feel out as far as once we're done with this paving project that we start talking about the other roads to complete or the road plan. I know Chandler's Wharf Road. I know that one needs to be done. And I know that one's got some property line disputes, property line issues. I don't know if they're disputes, but it's issues anyway. And then certain roads that need attention, Bennett's to me needs attention, needs to be widened or something. I'm going to get hate letters from that one, but anyway, and then tree removal branches that are hanging out in the road, smacking cars, smacking my machines when I'm driving by, So just some issues with the road, and I think it'd be good for us to address some of those issues after this paving project.
Okay, I think that those are good points. Anyone else have anything on this topic? Okay, let's move on to 21-078. To discuss and take action on the creation of a committee to make recommendations regarding the town-owned property formerly owned by the Coddington Heirs, map I-03, lot 008. And my suggestion is back a while ago, Jay volunteered to be involved with this, and I was wondering if he wanted to take the lead on seeing if he sees any purpose for the town to keep this property. And he could get a couple of, if he wants to find a couple of other people to work with him on a committee. Do you have some suggestions, Jay, of who might work with you?
I would be happy to do that, because last time we talked about it, that was my suggestion. So
I know, that's why I'm bringing it back up.
I'd be happy to do it. The committee previously consisted of myself, Chris Loader, and Jeff Suma. And that would work fine, or I know that we advertised for people to get involved. And
no one applied.
Pardon me?
No one applied.
That's what I thought. So I'd be happy to call those two and just say, we've got another one to take a look at. I mean, we worked through the process with the Grimmels, and that seemed to go pretty well. Unfortunately, it took a lot longer, but whatever. But I think that the end result is going to be very positive for the town. So I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, Jay. Do we need a motion or anything, or is it just by consensus that Jay will do this? Anybody have any questions? Mark?
Sounds fine to me.
Okay. Anybody else?
I just have a question. Since I'm a little out of the loop. Which property is this? Where is this located?
It's a little property across from the Wessels below Lindy's. And originally, it was where the first East End Schools was located. And after that, there was a blacksmith shop there. So it's it's not a very big parcel.
So it's where we were talking about digging a pond?
Yep, that's the spot.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Marjorie.
Jay, just check with me because I have a big folder on it.
I'm more than pleased to. Have we been able to actually get in touch with these people?
No, that's why we took it. I got in touch with them, Marjorie, 3 years ago I actually had conversation. I tracked them down, and the person wrote me back and said, thank you for getting in touch with us. And somebody had died, and then there was another person. And then they just stopped communicating totally, right, Marjorie? Isn't that what happened?
That's correct. So this is the third, we've foreclosed on it, so it's been 3 years.
But we did reach out, and I did explain to them when it was almost going to be foreclosed before.
Right. No, the only reason I ask is because the process is very much in favor of a property with a home on it to keep the homeowner in place. It doesn't really handle raw land very well. So I just, in the foreclosure process, how close are we to the ability to actually own the property?
Well, there's what is called an automatic foreclosure on the foreclosure date. The caveat is that this town has a tax acquired property ordinance that was adopted at town meeting. And so in order to, you have to follow through with that ordinance in order to, dispose of the property or, do anything with it. So you simply have to follow that ordinance until until the town's actions satisfy the ordinance requirements.
Right. That puts us probably a year and a half plus away from actually being able to own the property.
I don't think so, because it's already been 90 days, and that if the people did, the way it reads is that the owners have to get in touch with the town within 90 days of the foreclosure, and then meet with the town within 6 months to make a plan.
Right, I understand that, but if at any point in time the owner, we want to take care of this, then all that previous goes away and we have to negotiate a resolution with them. Anyway, that's fine. Look, I will talk, we'll come back to you with the recommendations.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate that. Okay, so the next item, 2179, to hear a report regarding a meeting between the representatives of the town and CTC. And I'm going to start, and then I'll let Mark and Marjorie chime in. We had a meeting with representatives from CTC, as well as Marjorie, Ralph, Mark, and me. And two items were discussed. The two items were, one, when the crew felt, to discuss the issue of when the crew felt uncomfortable carrying passengers on the boat during a rescue. And so that was presented, a list was presented, and there was a discussion about how the person, how the EMS people could notify the boat without saying what was wrong with someone. And then they talked about coming up with something really generic, like no passengers on the boat. And that would be the hint to the, I mean, that would be the message to the boat crew to clear the boat off. And so Ralph and Matt were going to work on whatever their actual code was going to be, but it was, everybody seemed to be on the same page, and Ralph said he was happy, he was fine working with them on that. The second issue had to do with low tide, when the boat doesn't run, and Matt had a calendar of all the dates through the end of the year and that he gave to Ralph, and Ralph asked if EMS could be reminded the day before that would happen, and Matt said, sure, they would do that. They would email EMS. And so that was basically, from my perspective, that was the meeting, but I'd like to have Mark and Marjorie weigh in and see if they have something more to add.
I don't have anything to add. I mean, I think that was a good summary of what happened. Mark?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think the term that CTC captains used was extreme low tide dates with the lack of water.
Oh yeah, I didn't mean just every low tide. Thank you for clarifying in case somebody's listening to that.
Yeah, so they did send out those dates, and my question to Ralph as the EMS director, what would the plan be if a rescue emergency call came in during one of those times? And his answer, I think, was Long Island Fire and Rescue Boat. That's all I had.
Anyone have any questions about that meeting? Okay, seeing none, let's go on to the next item on the agenda, which is 2180, to hear a report regarding the meeting between the Board of Selectmen and the representatives of EMS. And I'm just gonna give a couple of things, and I'm gonna turn it over to Mark. We had a great tour of the station. I thought the meeting went well. We learned about a lot of the COVID protocols, and we heard a presentation regarding the need for a decontamination room, and saw what they're using now, which is, if you're familiar with an outhouse covered with Tyvek, that's kind of what it, without a floor, that's kind of what it looked like to me. And Mark agreed at that meeting to contact David Bruna to see if he could come up with an estimate for what it would cost to develop a plan, working with Ralph and the and the rescue EMS people. And I have to say, both of these meetings I thought went really well, and Ralph was, he said, he asked us, he said, you know, I really need your help. And it was great. I thought the meetings were great. But anyway, Mark, do you want to follow up on where we are? Because you had a follow-up meeting.
Yeah, so I apologize, but I sent all of you the first draft of Dave Bruner's proposed design for this addition, is really what it is. It's a small addition off the back of the firehouse, coming out 10 feet from the back of the firehouse and traveling 12 feet for interior space and another 6 to 8 feet for open roof. area for pivoting a stretcher, I guess. So where we are at in the process is we have engaged Dave Bruner, obviously. We will be owing him a few of his professional hours, but he and I are working closely, and he's going to keep those to a minimum. He thought it would probably be 5 to 7 hours total for his time. So what we are doing right now is we are trying to make sure that before we give a estimate on anything that we are close with that estimate. So we're actually trying to track down some possible prices from different subcontractors. I'm primarily working on the concrete people that we will have to bring over from the mainland for the slab, and the mason who I have a relationship with who could possibly lay the concrete block for us. And then we have plumbing and electrical and heating and carpentry and paint and so on and so forth. So we're not quite there yet, but we're working on it, and we hope to have some numbers for you, and we will send them out electronically as soon as we think we are in a place to do that. Ralph and Steve Affont have voiced their have said that they would like to look into the possibility of another grant. I urge them to work with Marjorie on that and not to go anywhere without going to Marjorie and making sure that they had enough information to go looking for some more money. So I think I've been clear on that. And I believe they will do that if they think they have another opportunity for grant money. I don't know that they do, and I don't know that they don't. So that's where we're at so far.
Thank you, Mark, for that work. And I just want to bring people up to date too. After that meeting, I went home and I emailed Mike Abbott, who is in charge of the grant that we received from the state for the Keep Maine Healthy grant, and asked him if that room would be, if we did that, would that be possible for us to realign our budget to take money from one place and put it toward that room? And he said yes, certainly would be. And he also said that the state, either he said or the advisor that we have on the grant in Augusta, said that they consider it maintenance because of the price of the cost. It's not, they don't consider it new construction. And so we have until the 30th, David, correct me if I'm wrong, of August to adjust our budget. And we've been doing some preliminary work on looking at that. And because we were late, the Board of Selectmen was late in actually accepting the grant, we couldn't hire people. And the school also got another grant that covers everything that we had for the school in that grant. And so between all of those items, and then EMS has said that they would take whatever supplies we had and apply it to this, that we may be able to get as much as $22,000 out of the grant that we already have, and be able to redirect that to this project. But the issue is, it has to be, the money has to be spent by the end of October, by the 30th of October. So this is something that's on the fast track, because this is really, I mean, this is a great opportunity to have that money available, and the state's on board with us doing it. And so, you know, this is a moving target, and we'll have to finalize that budget at our meeting on the 26th to approve that we are changing that, because the board accepted the grant the way it was. So if we're going to change it, we've got to have the board look at that. But by then, I think, Mark, you probably will have more specific information.
Yes, I believe we're probably going to be in good shape, Donna. It's hard for me to sit here tonight and promise that we're going to have exact numbers for every little item in the project. But we will certainly try. And just, I just want people to understand that we're really speccing out a small addition on the back of the garage. It's not just a simple little room. So if you think it's going to cost X amount, it's probably going to cost, you know, more than that. And we're not trying to design an expensive structure or anything, but we're trying to design what the EMS wants within reason, and we're trying to do it well. And Jim Butler, the code officer, is working very well with us so far, so we'll do the best that we can.
David?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that chances are there won't be nearly enough to cover the entire project, but if everything is in place, we should at least be able to make the down payment in time to satisfy the requirements of the grant.
Anyone else have a question about where we are with the grant and where we are with this DEPON vote? Okay, so we'll have follow up with that at our next meeting. Okay, the next item on the agenda, 2182, is to hear an update from the CART committee. And I think those people are all on the school board meeting, but I will just give you a quick update.
We do have Eliza Jane and Erica on board.
Oh, we do? Okay, well, I'm going to give an update and then turn it over to them.
Yep.
How are you seeing their names? Because I'm looking and I don't see them.
Well,
I'm attendees. I'm sorry. Thank you. Now I see we have a bunch of people on here.
Six of them.
We're just talking to ourselves. Oh.
And Erica's in your hand.
Now I'm getting worried. Okay, so this is an update. I'd like to announce that, and you saw it, we put it on Beverly's website and on the town website. We've hired Erica Newman to be the communication director, or whatever you call it, for the Keep Maine Healthy grant. And she's been hard at work, and she's gonna tell you more about that. We've hired Eliza Jane Adams to be the administrator. And her part of her job will be working with Marjorie and keeping track of all of the expenditures, making sure that the reports are in on time. And she's also hired four ambassadors, which I'm sure she'll be happy to tell you more about. And so that's really where we are with that grant. And now I'd like to turn it over to, you brought them on. So who wants to go first? Okay. Eric, who wants to go? Okay. Liza, you want to go first?
She was pointing in the other direction.
I was pointing in there.
Pointing in the other direction.
No, that's first off, it's an honor to be able to do this job, and hopefully, I think the big part of the job that I'll do for this grant for this town is to make sure the money that was received with this grant has a maximum benefit for our town. And I'm talking about everything from hiring these young ambassadors and benefiting our kids, benefiting businesses and nonprofits with supplies, and covering expenses that are over and above what were in budgets and in the town budget. So I just promise you all, I'm gonna be wicked Yankee thrifty on how we use this money and utilize it in ways that will benefit the community. So I've hired four teenagers, pretty excited. Now this is 50% of the kids in their age group, and I hope when you see them around with their and they'll have a little name tag, that their job is to be the friendly face. They'll be handing out masks and hand sanitizer. They will be opening the playground during supervised times with cleaning and wearing masks and assisting our young kids with how to wear masks on the playground and manage that well. So anyway, I'd be glad to take any questions, but I'm just really pleased to be working in this capacity and working with Erica. So I'd be glad to take questions. What do
anyone have a question of Eliza Jane? Jay.
Yes.
You're muted.
Jay, you're muted.
Who did you hire for the COVID ambassadors?
I can give you their names, but they're, it isn't completed yet with the town office, so I think I'm supposed to not say it out loud, but I will say that I think you'll be pleased. But they are four teenagers who are year-round residents here on the island. They're most interested in working between now and when school starts. And we had our first training session today, another one on Friday. But I think, am I correct, Marjorie, that until they complete the paperwork with the town, I don't think I can disclose that?
Well, it's I don't know. It's not like
state secret.
You advertised a position and, you know, you're not supposed to talk about who applied for a position until the position is filled. This is a little bit different,
So I'll do it. Let me go. Laura Hamilton, thrilled to have her. She's headed to USM Fair right at the end of the summer. Hannah Burkett, who also works at the Niblick, so we're not going to interfere with those hours whatsoever. We have Meadow Phipps, and I think this is her first real job, so that's wonderful to be able to offer that to her, as well as B. Crossman, who we already know is such a hard worker. They'll be working in pairs most of the time so that they'll be supporting each other, and they'll have a little name tag, so please be friendly. Listen, what I'm gonna do is this. They're all gonna have quotas for how many masks they have to give away and how many squirts of hand sanitizer, so their job is to say to people, please take a mask, have a squirt, or I'm gonna get in really big so I can make my boss happy. That's your jobs, is to assist them in doing a good job, and let's have it be a really successful time for our island as a good example of how we're handling this whole COVID time. So thank you.
Anyone else have a question to ask Eliza before I turn it over to Erica? All right, seeing none. Erica, you're on.
Okay, great, thanks. It's nice to see all of you. I have been able to hopefully transition into this smoothly just because the role that I was on the communication subcommittee all along, supporting Marjorie as well as the CARP, trying to keep a clear and scientific and accurate and consistent information coming out. I come from the philosophy that the cause of most stress is insufficient information. And so I believe keeping the information flowing in a reliable, consistent way has been really important. So I'm really happy to be able to support the town further and be a bridge to people asking questions and people keeping the dialogue positive and answering questions, especially about COVID as it changed. I would say the good news today, I think I sent you an article, is that as of today, based on Johns Hopkins, Maine has the lowest positivity rate in the United States of America, or below 1%. And I think the good news there is that what we've been doing is working. What's also important in my world is that no communication slows down so that we don't take our guard down, because as we all know, this has definitely turned into a marathon. The way that I'm approaching the communications is to support Marjorie, support CART, and be a really good listener. To that end, we put out a survey on August 9th that I hope all of you had, so that we can be in listening mode. We can listen to all the shibigers of all ages and all types of residencies here, whether it's seasonal or permanent. And I'm happy to say anyone who's interested in that, I will have a full survey report. We were hoping to get about 100 responses, and we got 220 and they're still coming in. There's also been a mailing sent out to those who are not online or uncomfortable answering surveys online. So there's sort of a high touch follow-up calls to those to make sure that we get feedback on what we've done well and where we can grow. And I look forward to presenting all of those results back to the selectmen, to the board. And then the other part is that I think it's really important, as Eliza Jane said, to be look at this as an opportunity to create an infrastructure that serves the town well beyond COVID. So I think of this communications as emergency infrastructure, emergency communications that I've been saying all along, I'm really passionate about volunteering, and now there's grant money for it, to see if we have all the channels. And I'd love to hear from each of you, if it's possible. I'd love to be able to call each of you with your ideas on that, but to make sure that Chibig Island has the best way to communicate to our citizens in a digital world. So the best example I can give is the way that we've been putting out our town administrator letters and the COVID updates and any of the written communications has been through chibig.org, on the town website, on Chip Emery's Sheb Web, but the largest penetration has been through the CTC's email and text blasts. They have the largest mail outreach for the island. And so what I'm hoping to do is make sure that the island, the town, has its own infrastructure. I think that the CTC has graciously offered to put out town news on their channels. And what I'm hoping is to come back to you with a really prudent, sustainable system so that the town has its own communication infrastructure. That's really what I'm hoping to use this grant for. So again, it would be how Chibig responds in an emergency. We're in a state of emergency still. The governor extended our state of emergency. And as you know, Marjorie is still the director of our emergency. That all of this that we invest in, I hope, is for emergencies well beyond COVID, that when this is all done, the town has a system that will work regardless of what it is. So I don't know if you have any questions.
Thank you, Erica. And just to clarify for anyone, what Eric is talking about, the communication, that money is in the grant. So we're not talking about additional money. We're talking about money that would be, that's already part of what we receive from the state of Maine. Do people have any questions? Marjorie.
Thank you, Eliza and Erica. Thank you very much. I think what Erica, I wanted to just elaborate a little bit on what Erica was talking about. I think what the coronavirus exposed in our town is that we don't really have a good way of communicating with a lot of our residents and non-residents. We want to communicate with both the year-round residents and the people and the seasonal residents, similar to what the CTC has. We have our website, but we don't have a fancy website. It's not capable of, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles that you see on many websites. It's very, very basic. We realized that when Erica, who is very, you know, much more tech-oriented than I am, she said, well, just do this and this. And what we have doesn't allow that to happen, to put it in a simple way or in the way I would say it. I don't know all the technological terms, and just things like we have a Facebook page, but we don't ever use it. I don't even know who developed it. It must have been done before my time. Those kinds of things that would be helpful for the community to get information in a crisis like this. So those are the things that Erica has been working on. Some of it, you know, just on her own because she's passionate about this kind of thing. But now she's going to be really looking into it, you know, based on the money in this grant too. So anyway, I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on what the experience was and what we encountered when, you know, Erica was asking me, well, how do I get this out to the community? And the town doesn't really have a good mechanism. So, you know, we were doing it in every way that we knew how, which is okay, but I think we can do a lot better in that light. Anyway.
Thank you, Marjorie. That was really helpful. And I think this is an example of taking lemons and making lemonade. You know, that old adage, because, you know, if we had not had a crisis, we wouldn't know what you do in a crisis. But now we know that anybody can have a crisis. And you never know what it could be. It could be a hurricane. It could be whatever. Does anyone else have any questions of Erica? Mark?
I would just like to thank both Eliza Jane and Erica for all of their work thus far.
Yes, they have put a lot into it, and they do have passion, and that's what we need. And they've got great ideas that will be followed, that will carry us forward, which I think is really important. And that's a vision that, you know, when we put this grant together pretty fast, and we didn't have time to really delve into what the possibilities were, but thank goodness we followed through and were able to get it through. Anyone else have a question before we move on? Thank you very much, and we hope to hear from you at the next meeting. So now we're going on to communications. Does anyone have any communications that they would like to, Mark?
I received an email a couple, 3 days ago from John Riley, who's the property owner of the old Fran Calder house. And he requested a quick site meeting with myself and Bo to talk about the drainage ditch project that we are going to be completing at some point, I would assume this year. So just so everybody knows, Bo and I are going to meet with him quickly tomorrow afternoon at 3:30, and Bo will do most of the talking because he knows the design better than me. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have any communication that they would like to share at this time? David?
It's not communication as much as a question. Where we stand on our town administrator search?
That's going to be under other business.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
And you, Bo?
I just had a question about where do we stand with the easements as far as that John Riley and Roy and stuff?
We have to have a town meeting to approve them.
Okay, so we haven't done that yet. Okay.
That was one of those things, Bo. We took, last March, we made the decision not to go forward with anything that was could be controversial or it needed discussion because of the way we did the town meeting.
No, I understand. I couldn't remember where we stood.
No, that's, unfortunately, that's where we are with that and the Granules and, you know, a whole bunch of other things. One communication that I had, and Bo was actually there at the same time, was a citizen who was concerned that he didn't really understand the whole issue relating to the town meeting vote that we had to do with by referendum. And, you know, this is one of those examples of where we probably could have used Erica in a discussion to say, how can we better get that information out? But he said in the end, he was voting against stuff that he didn't know if he was voting for or against, and he'd see something he didn't like, so he'd vote for nothing. He'd vote down everything, and he didn't really want to vote down everything, and he didn't really understand. So, and we explained to him, I think, as best we could. I mean, he was very good about it. I mean, it wasn't like that, you know, we were trying to do the best we could do, and he understood that. But it's one of those things that's out there, and we have all these things about that we need to have a special town meeting on, but it's going to be really difficult. Just by that conversation, just reinforced it with me. Bo, I don't know if you want to say anything more about it, but.
No, pretty much you're right on, you know, communication, much it.
Okay, seeing no other communications, let's move on to approve the minutes from July 29th, 2020. Do I have a motion? David?
I move to approve the minutes July 29th, 2020.
I second.
Both seconded. Any discussion? Any discussion from the audience? Don't see any. All in favor? Oh, I have to call you names. Oh, God.
Yes.
Mr. Corson.
Yes.
Mr. Dyer.
Yes.
Mr. Hill.
Yes.
And Ms. Damon is yes. So that's unanimous. Now we're on to other business. And I'm just going to go through two or three things and then see if any of you have any other business or anyone who is on as an attendee. If you have something you'd like to bring up that wasn't on the agenda, because people hadn't signed in at the beginning of the meeting, I said I would leave time for the at the end for that. So feel free when we've gone through our list, if just raise your hand, and David will figure out what to do with it. So the TA search, we have about a dozen applications, and it's supposed to close on the 15th. I can honestly say I have not read any of them. I wanted to wait until they all came in and look at them at the same time. What my plan is next Monday to make copies and packets for each one of you that you could pick up at the in the box at the town office. They'll be in an envelope, and these are confidential. And that my suggestion is that we have an executive session on the 19th on Zoom, just the five of us, and look them over, we'll talk about each one and decide if there are any or all or however many we want to go through the first round of interviews, and then kind of take it from there, figure out what we're going to do from there, when we would want to set up interviews, how we'll do it in that meeting. Anybody have any suggestions? Anybody have any comments, questions? Anybody? Mark?
Are we still thinking about some assistance at some point for screening any possible strong applicants?
Yeah, I was going to ask the board if they wanted to invite Greg Hanscom into that executive session, and I could send him a packet.
Vika has her hand raised.
Vika?
She will be on in a second.
You hear me?
Yes, we can.
I just want to let you know that the job advertisement that is posted on the town website says that the applications are due by the 19th.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the 15th. Well, that's even better. Good. Then that changes the whole schedule. Forget about everything I said. Thank you, Vika. Okay, so that changes that. So that would be the 19th. We could have an executive, if we have a light agenda on the 26th, we could do an executive session afterward. Or do you want to have just a standalone meeting and do it a different day?
I'm willing to do it on the. Oops.
Go ahead, Bo.
I'm willing to do it on the 26th if we got a light agenda.
That's exactly what I was going to say too, Donna. And just so everybody knows, if we get some applicants that we're interested in, I'm personally interested in some assistance for screening those from Greg Hanscom and anyone else that we think may be appropriate from the community with hiring or HR experience or something like that.
Jay.
Along that line, didn't Beth Wiles?
I've been communicating with Beth Wiles. She helped with the advertisement.
Okay.
Of the, of both she and Greg looked at the ad that we put in and had input in that. I mean, I can check with her and see if she would also want to be on that call. So So is the sense of it, if we can have a light agenda on the 26th, that we'll take the first stab at this afterward? Okay. Sure.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So by consensus, everybody's on board. And I'll talk to Greg and I'll talk to Beth. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. So, next thing that I wanted to just talk about for a minute, we had talked a while ago about getting some kind of an estimate about what it would cost to do a design for the 80-foot ramp at Cousins Island. And so I was authorized to go and get information. So I've communicated with Bill Shane. He sent me, we had a conversation, and then he sent me a lot of information when they did the job down at the Broad Cove Reserve. And he worked with Barney Baker, who is on our list, our short list, who we've worked with on some projects here, about the 80-foot ramps and the design and the floats. And I wondered if the board wanted me to follow through with that and talk to Barney and get some kind of an idea of what he thought it would cost for a design. Mark?
I think that's an excellent idea. And I guess my question is, if we thought after a conversation with Barney Baker that it would be a good idea to come up with a possible design for Cousins Island Wharf, where would those funds be available from, Marjorie?
I think before we found them in, there was in wharfs or floats and gangways or something. There was some kind of a line, I think there was like 30 something thousand in a line that,
32,528 in the floats and ramps reserve.
So this would just be the beginning of the process, because we'd have to talk to Yarmouth. We, you know, there's a lot that has to go on having to do with that. Marjorie?
Just be aware that I also have a big folder of information on discussions and about the 80-foot ramp.
Okay, great. Thank you. So what I will do is I will I'll contact Barney Baker, and then I'll get back to the board on, and then we can figure out where we're going to go or whether we're going to go from there. And just following up on that, I've communicated with Nat Tupper this week, and they have appointed their people for the Joint Standing Committee. So I'm just thinking that if it works out near the end of September, maybe that we can set up a date for Mark and Marjorie and I to go to the to go over there and meet with them. Mark,
are we going to breakfast again at the place in Yarmouth?
Matt said, what's his name? Matt said we could come there and sit in a park, or we could do Zoom. I figured when I say go over there, I'm talking about probably Zoom.
Well, I can stay 6 feet away and still eat scrambled eggs, just so you know.
Okay. All right, so I'll get back to you on, following through on that discussion. So I think Bo had some other business that he wanted to find out where we were on the whole Stone Wharf project. And when we had a conversation today, I told him that was one of those things Herb had hoped to have a design, an amount in the town meeting warrant that would cover doing a design. We never even got to the point of figuring out what the RFP would be, what we were even going to ask anybody to design, and COVID struck. And so, again, it was one of those things, anything that had any kind of question and answer, we took completely off the table. So that's something that's out there that we need to deal with. But, Bo, do you want to address that?
Yeah, I just, like I asked, I had a couple people ask me about it, and I just flat out told them I wasn't sure where we're at. I would like to see before we do any type of design would be to see if the structure, what we're dealing with, essentially. Because they can draw up what we'd like there, but if it's unstable or something that's just ridiculously expensive to fix, to get that certain design, I mean, I don't want to waste money doing a design and then finding later out that we have to change it.
Well, after we had our discussion today, Bo, what I was trying to figure out, how do you put the cart before the horse before the cart, or what do you do? So my thought was, the next step is to create an RFP regarding the structural integrity of the wharf. And that's basically what you're saying. And, what is it around it, whatever. I mean, I honestly believe, I'm probably the only person in Chabig who does not believe that wharf is falling down based on the photographs that I've seen in the past, based on the records I've read about the construction. What I do believe is that we tied over dirt and the water goes out and makes holes. I do believe that. But until we actually have an engineer who actually looks at it, not just goes there and says, oh yeah, this looks good, or it looks terrible. We need to have somebody really get there, because, I mean, that's my feeling. Do you want an agenda item, Mark? Yes.
Go ahead and ask Bo your question.
I was just going to say, do we want to have an agenda item so that we can kind of just talk a little bit more about this? Maybe not the end of the month, but in September?
Yeah, let's see if we put something in September. We might have some participants that want to get involved. Or something.
What do you mean?
Just to hear it out.
Hear what's
going on, basically.
Well, we don't even know what's going on. So that's the whole.
Well, at least let them know what the plan is and everything. And I think September would be great, even if it's the last meeting of the month in September, just so that. We have the road done and possibly the town administrator done, and then that way we can concentrate on something new.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds great.
All right.
Mark?
Yeah, and I agree with what both of you just said. I still have a request in to Jerry Douglas from All States Asphalt to give us a number, even if it's a semi-rough number of what it might cost to completely repave the stone wharf road at a width of at least 30 feet of pavement with an improvement possible, improvement to that road. So I'm not sure where our mindset is about the stone wharf road, and it may be that we need to be cautious about trying to improve the stone wharf road without a goal of an improvement where it meets the stone wharf. But probably we should revisit the stone wharf road subject at some point in the near future.
Yeah, I'm putting that on my list. Anybody else have something they'd like to bring up under other business? Anyone of the attendees? And again, thank you, Vika, for straightening us out on that date for the town administrator.
Marjorie,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. There's going to be a warrant to sign tomorrow. It's ready for signatures.
Okay.
Can you please follow that up with a text, because my memory isn't what it used to be.
And is that one of the ones that has the school warrant and everything that I have to sign? The payroll, does that have payroll and everything? Oh.
Donna, you have a lot of stuff to sign.
Okay. All right. So I can't dodge that bullet. Okay. Mark?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to very quickly report on something. While I was having a conversation with Dave Bruner about the fire station, decontamination room, and other subjects, he let me know that there are some interior wall paint issues up at the Island School. Evidently, it's sort of chipping and peeling a little bit in some places. So while driving by, Polly was in there and I went in with a mask and looked around, and the contractor has been down, looked at it. I don't know what the outcome of that's going to be. We've asked John Thaxter to go up and have a look at it and give us his opinion. And Dave Bruner is obviously aware of it. So I don't know how this will play out quite yet. It's not a big problem or a big situation, but it certainly has some concern for how it's going to be resolved, short and long term, I guess is a good way to put it. Okay.
Anyone else? All right, seeing none, do we have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Hill makes a motion.
We adjourn at 7:33.
And
I second.
And Bo seconded it. All right, Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon? Yes. And we've beat our record of last week, I think.
Nice.
Well, pretty close. Thank you all for coming, and thank you all for being engaged in this. And
thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.